But okay, let's go into the agenda, and I think we should start first with agenda consolidation. It is the third agenda consolidation the foundation has experienced over the last years, and I will give the floor to the consolidation team. But please mute your mic, because I still have echo, a lot of echo here.
Okay, thank you, Martin, and good morning, everyone. At this session, we would like to provide you with an overview of the board's third agenda consultation and seek your feedback on the three key aspects of the request for information. Questions for you are included on slides 3 and 4 of the agenda paper 1. But before we move to the breakout groups to discuss each aspect of the consultation in more detail, let me provide you with some highlights of the consultation. So as you are aware, the objective of this agenda consultation is to gather views on the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities, the criteria for assessing the priority of financial reporting issues that could be added to the work plan, and which new financial reporting issues the board could add to its work plan from 2022 to 2026. On slide 9, we have included some of the project key dates. The comment period will end on the 27th of September, and the board expects to start deliberations in the final quarter of this year. Responses to the consultation will help the board determine its priorities for the next 5 years, but after the priorities have been set, the board may still add urgent projects to its work plan, such as IBOR reform and its effects on financial reporting. The trustees of the IFRS Foundation also have consultation in progress, but their consultation is different. On slide 10, we describe the main differences between the board's agenda consultation and trustees' work on sustainability. The board's agenda consultation is about how to prioritize its various activities within the current scope of the board's work, that is, financial statements and management commentary for profit-oriented companies. The trustees are working on proposals for creating a new international sustainability standards board. Consequently, we are not seeking feedback as part of this agenda consultation on issues related to broader sustainability reporting, except to the extent that those issues relate to the financial statements. For example, accounting for pollutant pricing mechanisms, the effect of climate-related risks on the sources of estimation uncertainty, or how climate-related risks are considered in cash flow projections used in testing assets for impairment. However, if decisions from the trustees' consultation identify the need for capacity from the board to support any interaction between the work of the IASB and any new International Sustainability Standards Board, such a need will be considered in finalizing the board's priorities. The first part of the consultation, the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities, is summarized on slides 12 to 27. The consultation document provides an overview of the board's 6 main activities, what the board currently does within each activity, and examples of what more it could do. In this part of the consultation, we are seeking stakeholder feedback on whether the board should increase, leave unchanged, or decrease its current level of focus on each main activity, and whether the board should undertake any other activities within the current scope of its work. And to help stakeholders respond, we have provided information about the current level of focus on each activity. These are just estimates based on the resource allocation over the past 3 years. In the board's view, the current level of resources is appropriate and sufficient to deliver timely improvements to financial reporting. So the board assumes that it will remain substantially unchanged in the period from 2022 to 2026. In addition, if the board were to significantly increase its resources and therefore its activities, stakeholders might have insufficient capacity to engage with the board, provide high-quality feedback on proposals, or implement changes that result from those proposals. Therefore, an increase in the allocation of resources to one activity would mean that fewer resources would be available for other activities. For example, an increase in the resources allocated to activities that support the maintenance and consistent application of IFRS standards might lead to a reduction in the number of new research and standard-setting projects that the board can take on. And please keep it in mind when you discuss the overall balance of the board's activities in the breakout sessions.
Rafal, we had a request, sorry to interrupt you, for us to share our slides I can try to do that while you're talking, if you can just give me 30 seconds to try my hand at technology. Are you able to see the slide?
They are coming in, yes. So if okay. we could move to yeah. slide number 15. Thank you, Nini. So each of these six main activities is described in the consultation document, and I would just like to highlight some key points. As part of its research and standard setting activities, the board also undertakes required post-implementation reviews and the board's capacity to add new projects to its research and standard setting work plan is discussed in the third part of the consultation. On slide 16, we can move on to the next slide.
There's a lot of noise. Thank you.
Thank you. Together with the Interpretations Committee, the board also helped stakeholders obtain a common understanding of financial reporting requirements by, for example, developing narrow scope amendments to the standards, publishing agenda decisions, and providing educational materials. Examples of what more the board could do are included on slide 17. So if we could move on to the next slide, please. So examples of what more the board could do are within the context of addressing application challenges through either existing channels, such as agenda decisions and educational materials, or through new channels that include capacity building efforts for emerging economies and new adopters. And these new channels could include regional IFRS training workshops to support cohesive understanding of requirements. Moving on to the next slide. The board also provides financial reporting requirements for companies that do not have public accountability. And together with the SME implementation group, the board currently undertakes periodic reviews of the IFRS for SME standard and publishes educational materials. The next slide includes examples of what more the board could do, and these include provide more educational materials and programs, including for micro-sized companies that are not publicly accountable, and work with national standard setters and others to increase global adoption of this standard. Moving on to the next slide, within this next activity, the board focuses on supporting the digital consumption of financial information by maintaining the IFRS taxonomy as new standards are developed. The IFRS taxonomy helps facilitate digital consumption so that global comparability we have on paper extends to the digital world. It also allows for compatibility of financial statements in different languages. At the same time, there is limited and inconsistent adoption of the IFRS taxonomy. Around the world, data quality needs to be improved and the accessibility of digital financial reports is limited. This has the potential to undermine the benefits of globally consistent accounting standards. So the question is whether the time is right to do more, given today's trend towards digital financial reporting. And examples of what more the board could do include work more with regulators and others to increase global adoption of the IFRS taxonomy, redesign the IFRS taxonomy to better meet investors' needs, consider changes to the way the board writes standards and shift from a technology-neutral approach to one that embraces technology first. That would shift the focus away from paper-based reporting towards digital reporting, in which there are practically no constraints for how much detail can be presented or disclosed, and comparability, and thus fewer accounting policy options, may be more important because company screening may be performed with less human intervention and judgment. The board could also identify partners and work jointly to create digital financial markets where high quality comparable electronic data is easily accessible. So as you can see, there are some opportunities, but also challenges, and we seek your views on what role the board should play in the digital ecosystem. Moving on to the next slide. The other board's activity that may not be very familiar is understandability and accessibility. And this work primarily helps users of the standards, including preparers, provide high quality financial information to the users of financial reporting, including investors. In undertaking its activities, the board focuses on the understandability of its standards, for example, by reducing unnecessary complexity and cost for companies, while improving the quality of information provided to investors and other users, and by drafting clear standards. And the board does this through the involvement of editorial and translation teams and external reviewers. To further improve the understandability of the standards, the board could, for example, create a comprehensive inventory of possible areas of unnecessary complexity and amend existing requirements in these areas, or the board could make changes to the way in which standards are drafted so that standards are more clearly articulated and consistent terminology and structure are used. This approach could be applied to amend existing standards or to develop new standards. The board also strives to make the standards and related materials accessible, for example, by publishing annotated IFRS standards with cross-references to other materials, and by improvements to technology to help navigate the electronic version of the standards. For example, recent improvements to the IFRS standards navigator on our website. And the board could further improve accessibility of the standards by using technology and other tools to help stakeholders find materials that are most relevant to them and help them understand how those materials relate to each other. This could be things like decision trees to quickly find requirements applicable to specific transaction so that stakeholders don't need to navigate through all IFRS standards. And moving on to the next part of the consultation, the criteria. In the second part of the consultation, we are moving our focus from all of the board's activities to the one that you are probably most familiar with, that is research and standard setting projects. In this part, we cover the criteria that the board considers in deciding whether to add a new project to its work plan. We are asking stakeholders whether the board has identified the right criteria and whether it should consider any other criteria. The overarching consideration is to assess whether the potential project will meet investors' needs, considering the costs of producing the information. The thing to bear in mind is that prioritizing potential projects will require judgment, and it cannot be an exact science. In addition, the relative importance of any specific criterion will vary depending on the circumstances surrounding a potential project. For example, some stakeholders may think that the rising importance of intangibles merits standard setting. However, some other stakeholders may think that potential project on intangibles could take significant amount of time and may not even be feasible because of high degree of complexity involved. And then the last part of the consultation, so moving on further. The objective of this part of the consultation is to seek stakeholders' views on which new projects the board could add to its research and standard setting work plan. But there are a few things to bear in mind. The board will continue existing projects because stakeholders have previously identified them as priorities. The board will also conduct required post-implementation reviews and undertake any urgent projects that may arise after this consultation, such as COVID-19 related rent concessions. After setting aside the capacity for these commitments, the board expects to be able to start a limited number of new projects in the period from 2022 to 2026. Based on the assumption that the board leaves unchanged its current level of focus on research and standard setting projects, which is currently around 40 to 45%, it expects to be able to start 2 to 3 large, or 4 to 5 medium, or 7 to 8 small projects, or an equivalent combination of large, medium, and small projects. The next slide provides some background, so if we could move on to the next one. You may remember in preparing for this agenda consultation, the board conducted outreach, including with CMAC and GPF members, to identify potential projects to describe in the consultation document. And the objective in describing potential projects is to help stakeholders respond by providing a common understanding of the financial reporting issues that could be addressed in a potential project. The thing to bear in mind is that the list is not a draft work plan. It is just a tool to ensure that everyone is speaking the same language. And stakeholders can suggest other financial reporting issues for the board to explore. And the list of 22 described projects within the consultation document is included on this slide. In this part of the consultation, we are seeking stakeholders' views on what priority they would give each of these potential projects. Within each description, we have proposed different types of work that the board could undertake to address the issues identified by stakeholders. What is important, we aim to gather focused feedback. Therefore, we are asking stakeholders if their prioritization refers to all or only specific aspects included in the project description. To help you provide feedback, each of these potential projects described includes an estimate of its size, so small, medium, or large. And these size estimations may help you determine your priorities in the context of the board's capacity to start any new projects that I have mentioned previously. And with that introduction and overview, I will turn it over to you to seek your comments on the three aspects of the consultation. And once again, questions to you and some instructions for the breakout discussions are included on slides 3 to 5 of the agenda paper 1. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Rafal. I think the first question is from Srinath.
Srinath, please. Hi. Good morning, everyone. I would like to know, the previous work plan had a theme of better communication. Do you have anything in mind for the next work plan, any theme?
So we are currently gathering feedback from stakeholders and we are at the early stage of gathering that feedback, I would say. So once we receive more comments and the consultation is open until the end of September, we will see what and if any themes can arise from that, from the comments that we received, either via comment letters or the survey that we have.
Thank you.
And there is not a predetermined overall theme discussed by the board so far. So that is, I think, different from the last agenda consultation. Ian, you are next.
Thanks. I understand what you've said about the existing projects obviously have to have a priority because they're underway and need to be completed. Could you give us a feeling of what the workload is for that? Because, for example, I would imagine primary financials, for example, is only in process and that will absorb quite a bit of time. So I would expect from the existing projects, there's already quite a heavy commitment on the ISB's time and resources. So this may limit how much and how far we can go with some of these projects. Thanks.
Yes, so that's the capacity that I was trying to describe. And the underlying assumption is that the board will continue the projects on its current work plan. And assuming that the current level of focus on research and standard setting projects remain unchanged in the next 5-year period, the board expects to be able to start 2 to 3 large projects or 4 to 5 medium or 7 to 8 small projects. So that capacity is quite limited to take on anything new and add to the board's agenda.
An upper limit. Yeah.
If I could just add to that, Rafal, Ian, if part of your question is how far do we expect to be able to progress with any new projects that the board adds to its work plan, I think realistically, because we do have a commitment to do the post-implementation reviews of IFRS 15, the parts of 16, or the parts of 9 that we haven't started yet, and then 16, realistically, we probably wouldn't start any new projects until 2023. And given that some of the projects that people are asking for are quite heavy and quite involved, I would not expect them to be finished by the end of this 5-year cycle. I think it would go into the next 5-year cycle.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's clear. I think, for example, sort of completing primaries and doing a really good job on that is a priority above any of these ones. But I would imagine that's the board's view as well.
Okay. I don't see any further questions, but we have 3 people on the phone. Do either of them have a question or comment? If yes, please speak now. Seems not to be the case, so we are 10 minutes ahead. I would recommend that we then now go to the breakout session. Well, there's a question, sorry, from Jeremy. I haven't seen that before we do that. Jeremy?
Thank you. Just I wanted to ask, in the indicative size of projects, a couple operating segments and intangibles were listed as medium. I just wanted to understand the thought behind why they're a medium-sized project as opposed to a large project.
So I would say these are just estimates. And obviously when the board adds anything to its work plan, the scope of any project would be calibrated, so to speak. So these are just an indicative estimates to be able to match that with the board's expected capacity to add anything new to its work plan.
Could I just add to that as well, that it depends upon the scope of the project as well. So for example, if you looked at intangibles, a project that dealt with disclosure on intangibles might potentially be a medium project. If we were to look at recognition and measurement as well as presentation and disclosure in relation to intangibles, then I think that would undoubtedly be a large project. So when you look at the descriptions of the projects, you'll see there are several different potential scopes are discussed, and each different scope will have a different sort of estimate of the potential size the project.
Okay, thank you, Rachel. We have a question from Richard. Do we have information about usage of IFRS for SMEs? Who can answer that? And the question is, okay, how widespread it is?
I can try to answer that question. As far as I'm aware, it's around 80 jurisdictions that require or permit the use of the IFRS for SME standard, which is around 50% of jurisdictions globally, compared to around 140 jurisdictions that require or permit the use of IFRS standards, the full set of the standards.
Okay, Florian.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I mean, what climate risk was one of the projects on that list as well, and I admit it's early days, but how do you foresee sort of the overlap between the to-be-formed ISSB and that particular topic, given that that's the first topic they're tackling? How would you see the difference in applications between the standards they're developing in climate risk versus what could be done under that project?
So the board's agenda consultation is within the current scope of the board's work, which is accounting standards for profit-oriented companies. So financial statements and management commentary for profit-oriented companies. And I think, and that's what we described in this potential project on climate-related risks. So this is some improvements to the cash flow projections used for testing assets for impairment, or some improvements to the requirements on the sources of estimation uncertainty in International Accounting Standard 1. And I think that's too early to say what that potential interaction with any new International Sustainability Standards Board can be. But if trustees' decisions from that review and from that consultation identify any need to support any interaction between the work of the ISSB and the ISSB, that decisions may impact the future board's resources and capacity.
Thanks.
Okay, I don't see any further questions, but now we are a little bit ahead. 5 minutes. I recommend we should stay to the schedule. So we should now move to the breakout sessions.
Martin, we have one more question come through from Liliana.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Thank you very much.
There's a question. So after we have Liliana, I think we should then move to the breakout sessions and start the discussions in the breakout sessions as scheduled at 11:40. And then be back at 12:40 in the main session. But now,
I don't ask the question.
No, you should. But I want only to finish my last speech. So.
Thank you. No, my question is relating to what is all relating to sustainability, because you were identifying climate risk as a potential issue for accounting standpoint. But I can tell you that being in France, being in Europe, we are already identifying many issues relating to accounting issues, relating to what is sustainability. One example is IFRS 11. I made some comments relating to that because what is happening today? Today we are changing the way of doing business. We are working under another new paradigm for business doing what were the classic analysis relating to accounting issues is changing. We cannot be, even if we are talking about very big companies, we cannot talk about only one company achieving climate goals. And we are also, this is for IFRS 11 and also for IFRS 9. I think that IFRS is very, very in disadvantage with respect to US GAAP, mainly due to their way of contracting energy and renewable energies. So I think that the sustainability issues, accounting, I mean, need to be reviewed under this angle because under this, the angle of changing the way of doing business, at least in Europe. Thank you.
Rafal, could I jump in on that one? Yeah, that's really helpful feedback, Liliana. And certainly, if you and others have that sort of thinking, it'd be helpful to see that in comment letters or if we could talk further about it. The one thing I would just think about is whether these new ways of doing business require a change to our standards or whether the principles that we already have within IFRS standards would give companies enough basis for how to account for the newer transactions that are being developed. Certainly, if there are gaps, then I think it'd be very helpful to hear about those, and then we can think about whether there's additional standard setting to be done. But given the principles-based nature of IFRS standards, it may not always need a standard change.
I'm at your disposal in order to exchange deeply in this case because I am talking about two issues that we are struggling with currently. And there was not issue, but the world is changing. And right now it's an issue relating to the principles. Huh?
Okay, that would be wonderful. We can connect offline. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Diana. I think we are now already on schedule.
Don't see any further questions.
So please then enter to your breakfast. I have a lot of echo. Can everybody? Okay, thanks. So move to you. I think if you don't find your allocations, there was sent by Easy an email on Tuesday where you can find really in which group you are allocated. And I think we will see us back here in the main session at 10:40. Thanks.
Okay.
See you then.
Thank you.